And there have been people that have told me I have a bit of a problem when it comes to kitchen salsa. And they're right, really. It's ridiculous. My wife, one time, she bought what I call a carnival-size jug of kitchen salsa. It's that bulk 8-pound jug you buy at Walmart. Ate it in about a week and a half, and it's the best we could have in all. Inadvertently, I also had some mouth sores to deal with. I don't know if there's any connection there. But I love kitchen salsa. And I always have, even from a young boy. One of my earliest memories I still have, my childhood, I was 8 years old, my dad was asleep on the couch, my mom was out doing something, and I was eating chips and salsa at the kitchen table, and I ran out of chips, but I wasn't ready to be done with the salsa, so like a bear at a honeycomb, I just dug my hand in, smoothed it in. I kind of have a problem, but I love this stuff. And because I love chips and salsa, there was this one time in high school, I thought, I'm going to make my own. So I called up Buddy Lance, my best friend. We went to the grocery store. We got all of our ingredients. We got back to the house, started chopping up our tomatoes, our meats, food, pot. But we wanted this to be some spicy salsa. So we had some jalapenos. We chopped them up in the pot, some salt. We got some habanero peppers from Dad's garden. We chopped those up in the pot, some salt. Lance had this chunk of hot sauce that we got from Mexico. We thought, what am I going to do? Just throw that in there. So we started simmering and stirring up this pot of liquid pain, not realizing what a bad decision this was. So when it cooled, we got our chips, and we sampled the fruit of our labors. Like, this was the hottest stuff I'd ever put in my body. My teeth were buzzing. It was so hot. But then Lance looks at me, like, with this little quiver in his lip, and he says, "What do you think?" This was my idea, gang. I'm not about to buckle and wuss out here. So this drop of sweat started rolling down my head. I said, "It's good." And he says, "Yeah, I like it too." So we just kept eating it like a big bunch of dummies. And it burned the whole way down. And this may be TMI, but it burned the whole way through. You know what I'm saying? This was such a dumb decision, right? We are people, and as people, dumb things once in a while. It just goes with the territory. And sometimes those dumb decisions, they result in some funny stories that we can look back on and laugh about. Other times, though, those dumb decisions can be painful, can be frustrating, they can really make a mess of life and things that we hold dear. And it seems like of those painful, dumb decisions, the ones that hurt the most are the ones that involve our relationships. You know, if we make a dumb decision in our marriage or friendship by what we say or don't say, what we do and what we don't do, those are the dumb moves that really stick with us and really hurt. Now, life is hard enough without us fading the flames through our dumb decisions. Okay, and that's why God has done us a favor and given us a book of wisdom to help us avoid some of the dumb decisions we're prone to make in life. It's called the Book of Proverbs. We've been in this series for a few weeks now called Wisdom, How We Avoid Dumb Decisions. And this morning we continue, and we look at how we avoid dumb decisions in our relationships. I want to ask you, if you open up your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 is where we're going to be. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can set it. As always, you can follow along on the screen behind, or download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and follow along there. In any event, Proverbs chapter 11 is where we're going to be this morning. So let's look at a few bits of wisdom that God has given us to help us avoid dumb decisions in our relationships. First bit of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 11. Be kind. Now, I know that seems obvious, and I know that seems so simple, but sometimes it's the simplest truths that are the most important. Be kind. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. It says this, "Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves." Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. Again, I know this seems simple, but it's profound. Alright? We know we should be kind. The problem isn't knowing, it's not the problem is doing. Because there are those moments, those times of life when we just don't feel like being kind. Doing is the hard part. Kind of quitting smoking. Every smoker I've ever talked to, they know, okay, this would be a good thing for me to quit smoking. It'd be great for my health, it'd save me a ton of money. Knowledge is not the problem. The problem is doing. Because that's a hard step to take. And sometimes being kind can be difficult too if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Or somebody says or does that one thing that really just trips that nerve. Or maybe you're just grumpy. Maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you're not in a good mood. Maybe you just don't feel like dealing with other people's garbage today. Sometimes it's not easy to be kind. And it's in those moments in particular that we need to remember this proverb and this saying to us. That first part in particular, those who are kind benefit themselves. It pays to be kind. It's helping us just as much as it helps the other person. And this is more than just a maxim that we teach people or some sort of moralistic teaching that we spout out because we want people to be nicer. This is one of the foundational concepts of social psychology. It's something called the reciprocity principle. Basically, in a nutshell, it says this. If you do something kind for somebody, there is a deep-seated psychological urge and even a compulsion to do something nice in return. If you do something nice for somebody, there's a deep-seated psychological need to reciprocate with kindness. And we experience this in different ways. Let's just play a hypothetical game. Let's say it's Christmas time. And somebody brings you a Christmas gift. Now, you didn't expect this person to buy you a gift, so you didn't purchase anything to exchange. So here you are receiving without anything to give. How are you going to feel in that moment? What kind of emotions are you experiencing? You might be happy because you just received a gift. That's fun. But you also might feel a little guilty because you don't have anything to exchange. You might feel a little bad. There's something in you that some tension is just unresolved because there's this social contract that we're unable to fulfill. That's what we're talking about here. There's this deep-seated urge, this need to reciprocate kindness for kindness that's built into us. But this is more than just social psychology working itself out before our eyes. This is divine wisdom at play. This is what God has told us 3,500 years ago or so in the book of Proverbs. If you are kind, you benefit yourself. So if you're not in the mood to be kind, if we're not in the mood to guard our tongues, keep that filter over our mouths, if we're not in the mood to guard our sarcasm, remember this proverb. It is beneficial to you just as much as the other person to be kind. The other half of that proverb is also true and worth remembering. The cruel bring ruin on themselves. And when we hear that word cruel, I know in my mind I think of Cruella de Vil from the Disney cartoon, because that's her name, literally. But we might have some villain in our head that just pops up, like that person that is a jerk just because they're a jerk. Or that person that almost is always in a bad mood. We might think of kind of extremes like that, but that's not really what our proverb is talking about. If you want to look at the definition of that Hebrew word that's used there, the definition is simply to lack compassion. And that's something that all of us are capable of at any given time, to lack compassion. Like we said, maybe you're in a bad mood. Maybe it was a stressful day at work and you ran into traffic on the way home, or maybe there was some traffic jam that just held you up for 20, 30 minutes. Maybe you're hungry, right? And you just get hangry even. Maybe you don't feel like being kind. So you don't guard your words as carefully as you might. You just say what's true. You know, I'm just going to tell them the truth like it is. Sometimes that's just a cover-up for cruelty or lacking compassion. Or maybe your spouse, maybe your kids, maybe they need help with something. And maybe there's something that they just need your expertise or your opinion on, or they just need your presence, and you're going to let them figure it out on their own. Because you don't feel like being kind today. We all have these moments, gang. And that's why it's important to remember this proverb. The kind benefit themselves, but the cruel, those who lack compassion, they bring ruin on themselves. We just end up damaging these relationships that matter so much to us because of a short-term feeling. I know it's not complicated. It's not some difficult-to-grasp concept. That's the beauty of wisdom. A lot of times, it doesn't have to be rocket science to be true. One of the foundations of avoiding dumb decisions in our relationships, be that marriage, friendship, whatever, is simply be kind. So let's keep reading. There's another bit of wisdom that God wants to share with us. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, let's look over there real quick. Be kind is the first one. Here's another one. Be gracious. Be gracious. Forgive. Again, I know that this is not a lofty concept. We all know we ought to forgive, but again, the simple truths are sometimes the most foundational. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Listen to this one. Does whoever would foster love copies of the learned offense? But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Whoever would foster love, meaning if you want to cultivate and maintain love in this relationship, then the instruction there is to cover over an offense. Now, when we talk about covering over something, we're not talking about covering up something. If it's some illegal action or some immoral action, we're not called to cover up these things. We're not people who sweep evil under the rug. Rather, this is talking about personal offenses. You know, that ill-spoken word that somebody said that really just kind of hurts you. Or maybe your neighbor who borrows your lawnmower and it breaks. You know, those personal offenses that we deal with as we interact with people. It says, if you want to promote love, if you want to foster and cultivate a healthy relationship, cover over those offenses. In other words, forgive. Now, here's the reality. We need to remember this because we've been talking about winning dumb decisions in life and how it applies to us, our dumb decisions. We're not the only ones that do dumb things, right? The people in our lives, our spouse, our kids, our friends, our neighbors, they're human too, right? Which means that they're inevitably going to do dumb things as well. And sometimes those dumb decisions spill over into our lives. That's when we need to hear this proverb and be reminded that graciousness is essential. Here's an example. When my wife and I were getting married, it was the day before our wedding, so the day of the rehearsal dinner. She lived in Champaign, Illinois. I lived in Joplin, Missouri, and so there's 6 hours between us. I grabbed my groomsmen that day, and jumped in the car, and we made this long, boring drive on I-44 all the way through Missouri. Well, to pass the time, we came up with this really dumb game where you were given a hypothetical situation, a household object, and some sort of dangerous creature, and you had to come up with the most outrageous explanation of how you escaped that danger. Just a dumb game, but man, was it fun. It was a lot of fun, there were a lot of laughs. We were having a great time playing this game. Well, I was driving the car, and as we're getting closer to our destination, it comes to be my turn for the game. So they gave me my scenario, and I'm having such a good time, just laughing, coming out with this outrageous story, and I'm having so much fun that I miss our exit. I blew right by it, and I didn't see it. And so my groomsman, he's like, well, just call Lindsay and ask her, you know, explain the situation, ask her how to get there. I said, honey, look, I'm getting married tomorrow. I am not about to tell my fiance that I missed our exit because I was busy killing a grizzly bear with an ice cube. That's just not going to happen, all right? And so I said, we'll just take the next exit and we'll figure it out. Now, this was before smartphones were prevalent, and so I didn't have GPS with me. I just thought, how hard could it be to find this place? Apparently very hard, because we got lost. So I had to call my wife and explain. Not only did I get lost, but also why we were lost, because I was playing some dumb game goofing off with my friends. So we show up to the rehearsal dinner 40 minutes late. Everybody's hungry. She's stressed out. Just not a good situation, right? This is not the foot I wanted to start our marriage off on. My dumb decision spilled over into her life, and she had to deal with consequences. We experience that kind of thing all the time. Your teenage kid is out driving the car and they wreck it, or they get a speeding ticket. That spills over into our lives. Your coworker goes on vacation, forgets to get this big assignment done. It spills over into your lap. Dumb decision, not your problem. Your spouse, you know, they're not paying attention, they blow through a speed trap and get an expensive speeding ticket. Not the kind of thing we plan on. That dumb decision spills over into our lives. What our problem is trying to remind us of is in that relationship, in that situation, don't forget what's really important. That you care more about this relationship and this person than the offense that they're guilty of. That can be easy to lose sight of, because when we get upset and frustrated, we just react. But that's why we need to remember this problem, to be gracious, be forgiving. And I'm happy to say my wife forgave me for being late to our birthday dinner. It's a story you can laugh at. Now, I hope there's a story in your life where you have a relationship that you can look back on it and laugh a little bit, because grace covered over that offense. It was love. The other half of that proverb is just as true. He who brings up a matter separates close friends. You see, when we forgive, we also need to forget. We don't need to drudge it back up later down the road. Hey, do you remember that time you did that dumb thing and really hurt me? Gosh, how dare you? Whether it be a day, a week, a year. When we forgive, forget, don't drudge it back up. Even if we just hold on to it in our hearts, and we never speak it out loud, it's going to eat us away and tear our relationship apart from the inside out. In fact, this is a really interesting concept. When missionaries went to Alaska to try and evangelize to the American Eskimos, they ran into this problem because in the Hebrew language, there wasn't a word for forgiveness. So So try to explain how God loves you so much that Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins without having a concept of forgiveness. That'd be really difficult. So what they ended up doing, they took words that did exist and they just smashed them together into this monstrosity of a word to kind of try and convey this. And that word, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, by the way, but that word is isumenjijonatermik. Now, when we put that up there, we're all going to say it together, okay? Isumenjijonatermik, right? Just rolls off the tongue. Yeah, 24 letters. This is an imposing word. But it's also a beautiful concept. It literally means not being able to think about something anymore. It doesn't mean I'm not going to. It means I can't. I am not capable of thinking about this thing anymore. That's how God forgives us. We have these sins and wrongdoings in our life, and he extends his grace to us in Jesus. It's not that he just kind of puts them on the back burner and says, I'll deal with this later. But he cannot think about it anymore because it's dealt with. You are forgiven. And that's what this problem is encouraging us to practice in our relationships. If you forgive a matter, forget it. Easter message you on the internet, y'all. Be gracious. I know it's not rocket science, but that's the beauty of wisdom. Simplicity is powerful. There's one more bit of wisdom for our relationship we're going to share this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. This one's not quite as obvious as the other two. Proverbs chapter 25. We need to be kind, we need to be gracious. Here's the last one. We need to be aware of how much we take. Be aware of how much we take. Every relationship is a dance of give and take. We give energy, we give time, we give our attention, we give ourselves. We also take people's time, we take people's energy, and take people's affection and attention. That's the nature of a relationship. It is give and take. It's somewhat transactional, and that's fine. It's when we start to take more than we give that we start to run into problems. Here's what this proverb says, Proverbs 25, verse 16 and 17. It says, if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you'll bond. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they'll hate you. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. Honey, for instance. We are the honey in this proverb. Isn't that sweet? We're honey, well. We are kind, we're delightful, people enjoy us, but too much honey, and you'll grow up. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. I love caramel rides. Anybody else caramel rides? Real secret to do this. If it's fast, if it whirls, twirls, spins, I want to ride it. I don't know if I got a death wish or what, but I just love that stuff. There was one ride, though, when I was 8 years old. I got on this ride, and it was way too much for me. I was tall for 8, by the way, so I can get on rides like this. What is it? You got on this bullet kind of contraption, they strapped you in, and then it spun you around in this big vertical circle. But as you're spinning this vertical circle, your cart is corkscrewing in a horizontal fashion, so you're just spinning while you spin all the way around. There's a lot of motion for an 8-year-old. And when I got off, I was so queasy. I felt so bad. In fact, I felt so just nauseous. We left the fair, we went home. It was a very disappointing night. Now, I've ridden a lot of rides since then, but in that 20 or so years, I have never ridden a ride like that. Because it just put a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't want anything to do with it because of that bad experience. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing, right? If you eat too much honey, you're going to throw up. If you take too much in a relationship, you spend too much time in your neighbor's house, as the proverb says, or you're taking too much time, energy, whatever, it's going to bring ruin on that relationship. There's a concept that a person much smarter than me told me about a few years ago, and I had to pass it on to as many people that can because it's a powerful tool. It's called the love thing. I did a lot of premarital counseling, but it really applies to every human relationship, be it your marriage, friendship, a business partnership, to some extent your relationship with your kids. And basically the concept is this: your relationship with somebody is like a bank account. You make deposits and you make withdrawals. So what does a deposit look like? How do we add to this account? Well, you make a deposit anytime you are kind to somebody, for instance, when you speak kindly, when you encourage them, when you are just nice to them. That's a thing people enjoy. That adds currency, that adds value to the relationship. So we put $1 in our love bank. You also add to a relationship, or you make a deposit when you are gracious. when you're forgiving, when you're understanding, when you don't count people's offenses against them, people appreciate that. It has trust. It has value to that relationship. So we've got another heart dollar in the benefit. We make deposits into relationships. We give people our time or our energy. If your neighbor needs help fixing his car, or you've got a friend or a family member that needs your time or your assistance with something, when we give of ourselves, we are making a deposit in that account, and that's good. Because in a relationship, like we said, it's both give and take. We also make withdrawals in relationships. For example, we might make a withdrawal if we take people's time. If you're the kind of person that continually is asking for help with every little thing, you need to understand that every one of those requests is a withdrawal. People will give time, but if you ask too much, people run out of patience and they run out of time to give. Case in point, the first church that I served at, my boss was also a friend of mine. And I worked there for 3 years, and I knew him for about 4.5 years, and I think his favorite hobby was moving, because he moved 3 times out of 4 years. And every single time, he asked me to help. Which, you know, I didn't mind. He's my friend, my buddy, of course I'm going to help him out. He was the kind of guy that didn't have everything in a box to throw on the truck when we got there. He wanted you to take stuff off the walls and put it in the box and label it. One of those guys. And so when I showed up the first time, it was a little frustrating, but this is my friend, this is my boss, we've got a good relationship, I'm going to help him out. And then he asked me the second time, and I made sure to clarify, hey, everything's going to be in the box, right? He said, oh yeah. Nothing's in the box. I was a little frustrated at that point. That's a withdrawal. And then we got to the third time that he moved, and I said, now, seriously, you're not going to make me pack and jump up, are you? No, man, it's going to be right when we get there. Not right. And I'll be honest with you, when I got there, I was so frustrated. If he wasn't my boss, I probably would have just left. Because he'd taken and taken and taken. And when you take too much, relationships suffer. So we make it a withdrawal every time we take. We're going to take one love dollar out of there. We also take from a relationship anytime we take people's energy. People don't have an infinite supply of energy or an infinite supply of emotional fortitude, we'll say. Whenever we complain, whenever we talk about our problems, whenever we are negative all the time, that's a drain on people. My wife, she has a great illustration. She used to work with a bunch of young girls in their 20s, and there was one girl in particular, very dramatic. Could not have a conversation with this girl without her saying, hey, here's what's going wrong in my life, or here's a problem that I'm dealing with. Ugh, can you believe it? And once in a while, that's fine, because relationships are give and take. We need people like that. But when we just give or take and take and take, it's draining. Her point was this, she finally ran out of energy, and she said, look, you can't do this to me anymore. And basically what you're doing, you're vomiting on me. You just put all your negativity on me, and you probably feel better, but now I gotta walk around with this all day, right? Kind of a visceral image of what happens, but that's true. When we take, we take, we take people's emotional energy, we're withdrawing from that account, so we take that love dollar away. We also make withdrawals from relationships anytime we just mess up. Sometimes we don't plan on making withdrawals. Like I said, if you're driving a car and you get into an accident, it's probably gonna cause some friction in your relationship with your spouse. Or your parents, if you accidentally say something because you're grumpy and it comes out wrong, a little more aggressive or whatever, we make mistakes, we've done things, it's probably a little serious. And when we inadvertently do those things, we make withdrawals. So every relationship is give and take. When we give, we're making deposits. When we take, we're making withdrawals. What happens? We got an empty love bank over here right now. What happens if that bank is empty and I go make a withdrawal? I try to take. What happens to the bank? You slap with a penalty, right?
I think it's by need to breathe.
You think happens in a relationship?
I think it's by need to breathe.
You slap with a penalty. There's an argument.
I think.
There's frustration. There's fallout. And if you do that enough, you keep taking and taking and taking, and you don't have to pay in the bank, eventually you're just going to close the account. If you follow me. Every relationship is give and take, but we just need to be aware of how much. So here's a way to safeguard it. Always be giving. Always be making deposits. Make it a habit to be kind to people. Make it a habit to be gracious in your marriage, in your friendship, with your neighbor. Make it a habit to cultivate a lifestyle of giving so that when those inadvertent withdrawals show up, you got money in the bank, it's not a deal. You don't want to close accounts. Be aware of how much you pay. Relationships are a really beautiful thing. things we talked earlier in our offertory time about blessings. We talked about material things in our lives, but really what makes our lives rich are the people around us, our family, our friends, our relationships. And praise God, we are lucky people that He's a God that cares not just about our relationship with Him, but also our relationship with each other. And that's why He's given us this wisdom. Help us avoid dumb decisions. Help us avoid closed accounts. Because He wants us to experience the blessing of the relationship with one another. So I would advise us this morning, let's be wise. Let's take this wisdom to heart. Let's be kind. Let's be gracious. Let's be aware of how much we take. Pray. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for the gift of people. And I know sometimes people are sticklers. Sometimes people are throwing our side. More often than not, God, people are blessing. We thank You for the people who fill our lives with so much joy. Father, we thank You for the blessings of love, the blessings of friendship, the blessings of just the enjoyment of life with one another. These are all gifts from You, because You are good, kind, compassionate, and merciful God. I pray that You heal our relationships. Sometimes we say things and do damage, but we know that there is no wound that is greater than Christ. So I pray that as we fix our relationship with You, You also give us wisdom and repair in our relationships with others, and we experience the full blessing of what it means to be changed by Jesus. Praise Jesus' name.